Mesechtes Bav Metzia, Daf Ayin Dalad, the top line of Daf Ayin Dalad Med Aleph, Amar Rav and Rav states, Hani Beit Tlosa, the Yavi Zuzah L'chad, L'mizim L'humidi, if three people gave Reuven money in order to purchase something for them, and each one of them gave them money in separate bundles to Reuven, and then Reuven took all of the money and placed it in one bundle and in one group of money, V'zavin L'chad Menau, and then even if he had Kavana to only buy for one of these people and not for all of them, Zavin L'kulu, automatically it is actually as if he bought it for all of them, and all three of them would be shutfim in this item, and you'll have to prorate it between all three, and v'loya marin, and the only time that we said that belongs to all three, el deloit sar v'chosim in the shalun shalchude, that is only if Reuven didn't keep the bundle separated, and he put all the money together, al v'tsar v'chosim in the shalun shalchude, however, if Reuven kept all three bundles separate, l'man de zavin zavin, l'man de lay zavin, for the person that he actually bought and used his money, then the purchase would be valid, and for the other ones, it would not be valid, and they would not be considered shutvim. And the Mefarshim point out that if the three parties actually brought their money to Reuven and they had it combined at that point, then even if Reuven separates it afterwards, then certainly it would still belong to the shutvim as they meant to be shutvim, and he can't break the shutvim apart. And we learned the Gemara based on one pshat in the Rishonim. However, the Ritvar brings down Pirush Rabbeinu b'shem Rabbi Rav HaGadol Ramban that the Razra brings from his great Rebbe Ramban, the Lav de Zavon L'Chad Menau b'Feirish, that we're not talking about a case where Reuven went and bought this item for one of them, and he said this specifically, Dim Kain Havadi Nasi Shlucha V'Zachlai, as in that case, certainly he becomes a Shliach, and certainly that person will be Zeicha, El the Zavim Midmei Dechad Minau Stam Ka'ma, the Zavim Lekulu, the Kivish Maimin Echad Nasin Lekulam, V'Lo Yikpidu Nasi Keshutvim, that we're talking about a case where three people came to Reuven, and they gave him money at the same time, and they weren't makbid to separate their money, and since when Reuven bought this item, he didn't specify that he's buying it for one person, and he bought it stamma, then he can't say afterwards that he bought it for one of them, and therefore they remain shutfim. However, the Ramban says that if all three shutfim actually brought three separate bags, and they gave Reuven money in three separate bundles, then they were megala that they don't want to be shutfim, and therefore l'man d'zavim l'chud afilu b'stamma zavim. And when Reuven bought this item using one person's money, then it belongs to that person and to no one else. And the Ramban continued, v'kolshkin nasolay zeh shalay b'fnei zeh, and certainly if each individual gave them money to Reuven on separate occasions, then certainly when Reuven uses only one of their money, then certainly that item only belongs to that person, and it's not considered that this item is owned by Shutfus, and we don't prorate the item. And the Gemara continues, Amra Papi Mishmed Rava, Rapapi stated the name of Rava, Haisatumta Kanya, although we know we have very specific ways to be koyder an item, and we generally have Kinyanim of Kesef Shtar Chazaka, Meshicha, Mesira, Hagba, and Chalipin. However, if the Minig HaMokim is to use a different type of Kinyan, then that Kinyan could be a valid Kinyan, and what is the definition of Satumta? And Rashi explains that when a storekeeper would want to buy a lot of barrels of wine, he wouldn't want to take delivery of the wine immediately from the wholesaler, and for example, he would go to the wholesaler and make a deal to buy 100 barrels of wine, and then he would take delivery as he needed it, and l'maisa, the buyer did not want to make akbah on all 100 barrels, and instead he would go into the seller's warehouse and he would mark all 100 barrels, and this way the wholesaler knew that these barrels belonged to this purchaser. Gemara continues, L'may Hilchasa, what is Nafkamina if you do this Kinyan? Rav Chaviva Amar L'mikne Mamish, Rav Chaviva says that this actually acts as a regular Kinyan. The buyer has a full-fledged Kinyan, and neither the buyer or the seller could be Chayza. However, Rabbanan Amri L'kabul Ilev Mishapara, and Rabbanan explained that this is like a Kinyan of Kesef, as we know that Kesef is not Kinyan Metaflin, and even so, if a buyer gives money to a seller, even though it's not a full-fledged Kinyan, but there's a Klala of Mishapara, if one of the parties back out and retract on this transaction, and over here also, that it wouldn't be a full-fledged Kinyan, but l'maisa, there will be a klala of Mishapara. And the Gemara states, v'hilchasa l'kabula la Mishapara, that the halach is that the only thing that the Torah works for is that if either the seller or the buyer retract, then they'll be included in the klala of Mishapara. However, v'asur nehigan l'mikne mamish, if there's a place where the custom is that you use a simta and it's considered a Kinyan mamish, kani, then it's considered a full-fledged Kinyan. And as Rashi says, if there is a place, shirigil nirshayim al menashe just like you did a Mashicha, then Kani, then it would be a full-fledged Kinyan. And the Rav states, Stimta, Chaisim, Kagoyin, Shemach, Le Chavish, El Yayin, Le Sak, Mali, Peris, Vle Nosem, Mois, Vle Mashach, El Shesogas, Chavisai, Ve Kosher, Sakai, Ve Osses, Ze Chaisamai. And the Rosh at the end of our Perek speaks about a handshake, and he brings down from Ben Hananel that Virach Pirish, Kuderach, Shinogu, Asechim, Bigmar, Mekach, Teke, Kapo, Le Kav, Chaveri, Uvized, Nigmar, Mekach, the Chol, Kyetz, Bizet, the Eze, Dovish, Nogu, Ligmar, Mekach, mekach kagoyim b'makom shenogun shneis na lekech matbeah echad lemeicha v'zeh nigma mekach. And any way that there is a minik hamakom that they consider that a deal was done and the transaction is final, then that would be a valid kinyan. And for example, in a diamond exchange, if someone says mazel bracha, that would be considered a potential kinyan. And finally, the Rashba points out that lemeisa we just said the hilchos of gugbula mishipara, and then we said ba'asu dehigul lemitli mamish kani that it is kaino. Therefore, the Rashba points out v'shaminu minar shaminu mevatal halacha v'chol kiyets b'zeh shekol dov shemaman apiyam minik kainenu maknin, and therefore b'chol dov shenogu hatagarim liknais kainin that it would be a valid kinyan. And the Gemara continues and quotes from the Mishnah on Daf Ayin Beis and Beis, where the Mishnah stated that once there's a market price, then even if the Meicha doesn't have the product in stock, but you're still allowed to enter into a forward contract, because Ba'afal Pisha Ein Lezeh, Yesh Lezeh, as even though this seller doesn't have that product, however, there are other people that have the product, and he could buy it immediately at that point and at that price. However, the Mishnah then spoke about the concept of Yeshloi, that you're also allowed to enter into a forward contract if you actually have the product that you're selling. And for example, if Reuven goes over to Shimon and says, I'm going to give you $1,000 right now, and I want you to deliver me $1,000 of a product at a later point, then even though it was not Yotza Ashar, and there is no market price at this point, but as long as Shimon actually has that product in stock at that moment, then there would not be a problem of Ribbis, and it would be Mutar. And the Mishnah stated, that even if there is no market price, and the seller is the first one that is harvesting his Tfuah, he could still make a forward contract with a potential buyer, since he has bundles of wheat that are available. And the Mishnah then continued to discuss the dinim of forward contracts, benegay grapes, olives, pots, limestone, and fertilizer. And our Gemara begins that it seemed from a Mishnah that if someone wants to enter into a forward contract and the seller has that product, then it would be mutter to enter into a forward contract and there wouldn't be a problem of ribbis. But the Gemara now qualifies and states that Rav holds mechus shtayim paisik, shalosh ein paisik, that a buyer can enter into a forward contract with the seller if the seller has this item and there are only two actions left for him to do in order to create the end result and the end product. However, if he still has three steps and three actions that he has to do in order to finish off this product, then you can't enter into a forward contract as it's not considered yeshlai. And as Rashi states, and even though there isn't a market price at that point, the yeshlai, because lemaisa is considered as if he has this product, but if the seller still has to do three different actions in order to create this product, dummy, then it's considered like inlay, and since there is no market price yet, therefore it would be also to enter into a forward contract, as there would be a problem of ribis rabbanon. And the Gemara continues with Shmuel Amen, Shmuel Agaz and Rav, and he holds b'dei adam afilu meyer paisik, that if the seller has an item and the only thing that is left to do to the item is something that he could control and it's something that he has to do b'dei adam, then even if there are 100 steps left to do, it's considered yeshloi, and therefore you could enter into a forward contract. However, b'dei shemayim afilu achas ein paisik, but if the only way to deliver this item to the buyer is by having something done b'dei shemayim and it's not under control of the seller, then even if there's only one more action that has to be done and only one more step that has to be completed, so the buyer and the seller cannot enter into this forward contract. And as Rashi states, b'dei adam im melachis shadav mechusso b'dei adam afilu meyer hein paisik, however b'dei shemayim afilu achas ein paisik d'miyim d'asya, as who said they will occur, the hebiyadai lahashlim, and will be under his control to finish up this product, hilka ka'inlahu, and therefore it's considered like it's inlay, and therefore it'll be asa. And from this point until the end of the Amid, the Gemara will be going through our Mishnah in detail and trying to explain it both according to Rav and according to Shmuel. And the Gemara begins, now we learned in our Mishnah, paisik imay ala gadish, that a buyer can make a forward contract with the seller even if the wheat is still in bundles, and the deal is that the seller will deliver threshed grain, which of course will take some processing to get to that point, and even so, the Mishnah considers it a case of Yeshloi. And the Gemara now is that L'chair, according to Rav, that says that the only time they have a forward contract is if only there are two missing actions, and not if there are three missing actions. But V'amuchus Mishnah B'chama L'meibash, L'chair, in this case, you still have to take these bundles of wheat and spread them out in the sun in order that they should dry out, L'meidash, and you also have to thresh them after that, U'meidra, and you also have to winnow it, and therefore there are three Malachis, and therefore it should not be considered Yeshloi. And the Gemara answers, Kigoyin, Shadi B'chama V'yavesh, that he actually already threw these bundles into the sunlight and they were already dry, and therefore you're only lacking two different malachis, and that's why it's considered yeshlai according to Rav. And of course we have to understand what the Habamina Gemara is, and Rashi points out, because you might think that if you already put it into the sun and it's already dried out, it's not considered Gaddish, and the Chiddush of the Gemara is that Katik Gadish Karlei, that even if it's already dried out, it's still considered Gadish. Therefore, we could explain the Mishnah that we're talking about a scenario where there were only two actions that were left in order to be able to sell it, and therefore it's considered a valid forward contract and there's no problem with Ribbis. The Gemara continues and asks a question on Shmuel that said that once you have any item that has to be done B'day Shemayim, then you can't make a forward contract. And the Gemara therefore asks, Lo Shmuel da'amu B'day Shemayim, afilu achas in a paisek, v'mechusa midra, b'day Shemayim. One of these actions you have to do is winnowing, and the way to winnow tefuah and take away the chaff from the tefuah is by throwing it up into the air, and you need a ruach she'en matzuya, which is definitely b'day Shemayim. And the Gemara answers, ef shebenafasa, that even though that's a standard way of winnowing tefuah, but you could still winnow tefuah by placing it in a sieve, and that would also work. Therefore, there is no action that has to be done b'day Shemayim, and you could therefore enter into a forward contract. And the Gemara continues and quotes from the next din in the Mishnah, v'ala avid shalan avim, and you could also enter into a forward contract, and you could buy from a seller grapes, and you could tell him, I only want delivery once it's already wine. And the Gemara is that according to Rav, how could you enter into such a forward contract? But the Maaseh is still four actions that have to be done. And as the Gemara states, when someone has a vat of grapes, the only way to turn into wine and be able to deliver the wine is only by taking the grapes, putting into a kli, and making sure that the grapes stay together and they warm up and they soften up in order to be able to crush them well. And then you have to put them into the wine press, and then you have to crush the grapes, and then you have to move them from the wine press into another bar where the wine was kept. And therefore, there are still four actions that have to be done. And l'chayr, according to Rav, you should not be able to enter into a forward contract. And the Gemara answers, k'detani Rav Chiya al k'chim shal zesim, as we will see, b'negiyah din of olives, that the Mishnah mentioned, that the Gemara will also state that Rav Chiya explained that we're not talking about a case where it was in a vat of olives, but we're talking about a case that was already processed and it was already softened and it was already placed into that kli, and therefore you're not missing that action. And hachinami al kli mishal anavim, over here also, we're not talking about a case where it was in a vat of grapes, but was already in this kli of anavim, where it was already warmed up and it was already softened, and therefore you have one less action. And the Gemara is that very nicely have one less action, but b'mechusri tlas, you're still missing three actions. As we stated before, they still need a yule be matzata, ule medesh, ule mingad, and therefore, according to Rav, since there's three actions that are still required in order to make this into wine and in order to deliver the wine, then l'chayr should not be considered yeshlai, and it should be also to make a forward contract. And the Gemara answers, ba'asra hu dezavin hu denugid, that we're talking about a place where the custom was that the person that bought the wine would actually be responsible to take the wine out of the wine press and put it into the bar of wine, and he would actually have to go and bottle the wine and then take the wine. And therefore, there are only two actions left in order to be able to sell the wine, and that's why a forward contract would be mutah. And the Gemara continues and discusses the next case of the Mishnah, v'al matan shel zesim, you also let him make a forward contract with the seller, and a buyer could go over to the seller and pay for olive oil, and even though at this point they're only olives, and they're in the vat of olives, and they weren't yet processed, and still considered yeshlai. And once again, the Gemara asks in Rav, v'mechusim mechama v'yul lebe dafi, l'meidesh l'mingad, they're still missing four different actions, and you still have to soften the olives, and you still have to place them into the olive press, and you still have to press them, and you still have to move them from the olive press into the olive oil pit that was right next to the press. And the Gemara states, Tani Rav Chiya, that this is where Rav Chiya taught us, Al Kli Mishal Zesim, that it's actually talking about a case that was already softened, therefore instead of four actions that are missing, you're only missing three actions. And the Gemara is, Ha'ikot Las, the Lamaisa according to Rav, is still also to make a forward contract, since there are three actions that are still missing and have to be done to these olives in order to process them and make them into olive oil and be able to deliver it, and therefore it should not be considered yeshlai. And once again, the Gemara answers by Asra who desavid who mangid, that the Mishnah is talking about an area where the minig was that the person that is buying the product comes and takes out the olive oil from the olive press and he puts it into the olive oil press and then he bottles it and he takes it away, and therefore a forward contract is muta because there are only two items that still have to be done. You had to be yulul beidafi and you had to press it, but there was no need for michmar and there was no need for mingad. Gemara continues and asks for the next case of the Mishnah, Baal Beitim Shel Yetzer, that a buyer can make a forward contract with the seller to sell him pots, even though at this point the craftsman doesn't have pots and he only has the clay, which was shaped like eggs and therefore was called Beitzim Shel Yotzer. And the Gemara continues, Amai, that how can you say that it's mutter to make a forward contract and it's considered yeshloi from mechusel, but you're still missing five items? You're missing lefufe, you're missing shaping the actual pot and viavushe and drying it out. Ayul latuna, and you're also missing that you didn't place it into the kiln yet, and lemisaf, and you still have to burn it out. And then you have to take it out of the kiln and out of the furnace, and therefore why should it be mutter according to Rav if it's more than two actions, and therefore it should be also to make such a forward contract? And the Gemara answers that our Mishnah is specifically talking about a scenario where the mud was already shaped into the shape of a pot and it was already dried out, and therefore instead of having five actions to complete, there are only three actions to complete. But the Gemara is, but ikatlas, you still have three actions to complete, and according to Rav that should not be considered yeshloi. And the Gemara answers, so who the zav and who the mapik? Then our Mishnah is talking about a place where the custom was that the person that bought it would take it out of the oven, and therefore a forward contract would be mutar, as you're only missing two different actions, and therefore it's considered yeshloi. And Rashi is bothered that l'chayr, how could the Gemara say we're talking about a case the mlaf v'virishu? If l'maisa we said we're talking about beitzim shel yotzer, and the reason why we call the mud beitzim shel yotzer is because the raw materials of the mud was shaped like an egg, and that's why it was called beitzim. But if you're telling me that it was already shaped into the form of a pot and it was already dried out, then why would the Mishnah say that you're buying Beitzim Shel Yotzer? And Rashi says at this point of the Gemara felt that the word Beitzim doesn't mean that it's shaped like an egg, but it's from the Lashon Bitza, which refers to a swamp. And even though they were already formed into the shape of a pot and they were even dried a little bit, but the Maisa, until you put it into the furnace, it was still very moist, and therefore it still makes sense that the Mishnah still refers to this as Beitzim Shel Yotzer. And the Gemara continues and discusses the next case in the Mishnah, Val Sid Mishishkenu Bekivshon, and it's mutter for a buyer to make a forward contract with the seller of limestone once the lime was already placed into the furnace. Once again, the Gemara is that according to Rav, how could this be considered yeshloi if a mechusa miklav afukir medik, you're still missing three actions, and you still have to burn it in a fire, you still have to take it out, and then you have to pour water on it, and once you pour water on the lime that came out of the oven, then it'll crumble into pieces, and that was the raw material that the seller was going to sell, and therefore should not be considered yeshloi. And the Gemara answered, Ba'asud, who the zavin, who the dayik, that we're talking about a place where the custom was that the person who bought it, he would be responsible to pour water on this raw material, and he would actually crumble the material. And as Rashi says, Umeidak la'achash nisifu avonim harein chatichas trufites, umeitzin oisim and akifshon, and you take it out of the furnace, v'noisim ben ma'ayim, and you place some water on it, v'seibneisan, v'nideichas ma'alein kekamachtachon, and then it crumbles into a fine powder that looks like flour. And the Gemara continues, the Shmuel, according to Shmuel, the Amvidei Adam Afilu Meir Paisik, that if it's something that has to be done through a person's actions and it's under his control, then even if he still has 100 different items and 100 different actions to do, he could still make a forward contract and it's considered Yeshloi, Lamli Mashiach Kenabit Kipshain. So why did the Mishnah state that it has to be Dafka once he placed it into the furnace? L'chari, even though he didn't place it into the furnace, since the seller has the ability to place it into the furnace, so it should be considered Yeshloi, even if it wasn't yet placed into the furnace. And the Gemara answers, according to Shmuel, the way to understand our Mishnah is once it's prepared and it's ready to go into the furnace, so at that point it's considered yeshloi. However, prior to that, there's still items that have to be done b'day shemayim. As Rashi points out, once you have the stones and the eitzim, which are b'day shemayim, and everything is ready and prepared in order to make the fire and in order to burn the limestone, then it's considered yeshloi. The Gemara continues and goes back to the din that we mentioned about Beitzim Shel Yotzer, and the Gemara states, Tan Rabbana, we learned in the Braisa, in Paiskan Lala Beitzim Shel Yotzer, Achi Asu Divri Rameya. And Rameya holds that if a buyer wants to purchase pots from a craftsman, then the only way that he can make a forward contract is only if the craftsman already has the raw materials and he already has the balls of mud and the balls of clay. And the Braisa continues, Amar Rabbi Yasi argues Rameya, and he says, B'med V'amum B'afalavin, the only time that you have to have the actual clay is only when you're making this pot out of ufalovin, which was some sort of a white dirt. And as Rashi states, but ufalovin, because it's not readily available, and when they used to buy it, they used to buy it already prepared, and they would buy the raw material as clay balls. However, if we're dealing with black dirt, and for examples like the city of Chananya and its neighborhoods, and the city of Shechem and its neighboring cities. So over there, it was readily available, and therefore you can even make a forward contract, even though you don't actually have the raw material, and the potter doesn't even have this mud yet. And even so, since the potter could go and buy this black dirt, and there was a price that was set, and it was a market price, therefore it's considered yeshloi, and it would be mutter to make a forward contract. And the Gemara tells us that a Amema used to make a forward contract and pay the vendor for pots once the vendor already had black alpha and already had it in his possession. And the Gemara now asks, come on, that who was Amema going like? If he's going like Rameya, Rameya says that it doesn't make a difference if it's white dirt or if it's black dirt, that the only way it's considered yeshloi is only if the potter already has the balls of mud and the balls of clay, and it's not enough that he only has the raw materials of the offer. And according to Rabbi Yossi, he could have even made a forward contract even if the craftsman didn't have the black offer in his possession yet, as Lemaisa could go out and buy it since it's readily available and it had a set price, and therefore L'chira Amema is not going, not like Rabbi Meir, not like Rabbi Yossi. And the Gemara answers L'ilun Rabbi Yossi, that really Amema was paschal like Rabbi Yossi, over Asher Amema Oshik Afra, and in the area of Amema, black offer was not readily available and it was very expensive, and therefore Amema felt that if the vendor already has the dirt in his possession and he already has the inventory of this black dirt, then it's considered yeshloi, as the vendor will not back out, and therefore he gave the money to the vendor and considered that it was yeshloi. But if the vendor did not yet have the black dirt, then Amema did not feel secure that the vendor will actually go and perform, and therefore was not considered a case of yeshloi, and he felt if he would give him the money at this point and create a forward contract, that would be a potential problem of ribbis. Rashi explains, and if anyone retracts, then they will have the klal of mishapara, and therefore Amema could rely that this actually would be delivered, and therefore it wasn't a problem of being a forward contract, and it's considered yeshloi. However, if he did not yet have delivery of the black dirt, and there's no problem mishapara, because both parties didn't know if this would actually be delivered at any point, and therefore it can't be considered yeshloi, and it would be a problem of creating a forward contract. And the Mefarshim explained that L'chira, in our case, black dirt is similar to the case of white dirt, because both of them are not matzoi, and L'chira, b'negei white dirt, we said that it's not enough if you have the dirt, and you have to actually have the clay balls already available and an inventory. And why is it that you had to have clay balls in the case of white dirt, and b'negei black dirt, all it says is that as long as the vendor had black dirt, then it would be soymich da'yisai, and therefore it's considered yeshloi. Mefarshim explained that is why b'negei of a love, and Rashi says that the metzias was that they didn't deliver white dirt that was unprocessed and was already made into clay balls, and therefore that was the way they always received it. In the Hanami, if someone would actually have white dirt in possession and they would actually have inventory of white dirt that was not made into clay balls, the same thing would apply and it would be considered yeshloi, and there would not be an issue of making a forward contract. And before we continue, let's see Taisa's Diba Maskal Tani Rab Chia Kim Shal Zesim. And Taisa is, since Rab Chia was going to give this teretz b'negei olives, so why didn't Rab Chia say this b'negei the case of the grapes, and why did he wait until he spoke about olives? And Taisa answers, v'yishleima de irigilus l'michma anovim k'may zesim, that it's not the standard to go and soften grapes as much as it is to soften olives, which are very hard when they're on trees. And therefore Rab Chia really didn't feel that there was any question b'negei anovim, as he felt that the process of michma doesn't always happen by anovim at all, and therefore he only said his din b'negei zesim. But once the Gemara asked this question b'negei grapes, then in the Chinami the teretz of Chia would even work b'negei grapes, as the Mishnah is talking about a case where these grapes were either softened previously or they didn't have to be put into this kalim, as immediately when the grapes were picked they were already soft enough in order to press them. And the Gemara continues and quotes the three-way machlekes that we had in our Mishnah b'negei fertilizer, as the Mishnah taught us that the Tanakhama holds that the entire year you let him make a forward contract on fertilizer, as is always considered yeshloi, as there's always a market price and there's always someone that has fertilizer to buy. And the Mishnah continued, Rabbi Yisi Eimer, Rabbi Yisi Agar and Tanakam, and he held Lo'ilam in Paiskan al-Zebel, Elm Ken Haisle Zebel Bashba, that you can never make a forward contract regarding fertilizer unless the seller actually has his own fertilizer at that time. And the Mefarshim explained that even though other people may have fertilizer, but it wasn't generally something that people sold, as they would use the fertilizer for their own needs, and they wouldn't sell it to other people, and therefore it's considered ingloi, and you can't make a forward contract. And finally, the Mishnah brought a third sheet of a Chum Matirin, that Chum Matir had to say that you could make a forward contract with fertilizer. And our Gemara now is Chum Hainu Tanakama, that Al-Khir, the Shita of the Chumim, seems to be the same exact Shita as the Tanakama. And Amr Rava, and Rava states that when we continue on Daf Ayin Dalam and Beis, that Yemois Hagashom Iker Benayu, and as Rashi says, Tanakama, call Yemois Hashanakama, the Tanakama specifically says that you can make a forward contract regarding manure and fertilizer for an entire year. Upol Galer Rabbi Yisi, and Rabbi Yisi was Cholik and Tanakama, Oma, Loishna Yemois Hacham, Loishna Yemois Hakshomim, Achi Lomecha Zelob Ashbais, and you can never make a forward contract unless the seller physically has his own Zevel in his Ashba at that moment. And the third sheet of the Mishnah is the Chum Matirin, and the Chum are going back on the Shita Rabbi Yisi, and they're saying, Apo and they tell Rabbi Yisi that even though you don't have any fertilizer or manure in your possession, but the mice, as long as it's during the summer, then other people do have it. As the process in order to make manure is that it has to be trampled on and it has to decompose, and that takes place the entire basic shamim. And once it's already during the summertime, then it's considered yeshlai, and you could buy it from other people. However, be basic shamim loy. During the winter months, it's not benimsa, and therefore it's considered einloi, and you can't make a forward contract. And therefore, the nafkamina between the Tanakama and the Rabban is, according to Tanakama, you can always make a forward contract, and according to the Chachamim, you can only make a forward contract in the summer and not in the winter. And the Gemara continues, and once again quotes from the Mishnah Daf Ayin Beis and Beis, and the Mishnah stated, and when creating a forward contract, then Reuven would say to Shimon, I'm giving you $1,000 right now, and you will deliver to me in the future a 1,000 pounds of wheat based on today's market price, which is, for example, $1 per pound, and therefore you'll deliver me 1,000 pounds of wheat. And the Tanakama holds that just like in this forward contract, it is possible that Shimon will actually gain, because it's possible that the price of wheat will go up within the next period of time. And for example, if a pound of wheat is $2 per pound, then Shimon will actually gain, as he'll receive 1,000 pounds of wheat, which is $2,000 worth of wheat. However, there is also a possibility that Shimon will lose money, as if the price of wheat goes down and now is 50 cents per pound, then Reuven will still deliver 1,000 pounds of wheat to Shimon and it will be worth $500 and Shimon will lose. However, the Tanakama holds that at the time that they create this forward contract, Shimon can make a deal with Reuven and tell Reuven that if the price of wheat goes down and instead of being $1 per pound, it's now 50 cents per pound, then you must deliver to me 2,000 pounds of wheat, as this way I won't have a loss. And Rabbi Yehuda argued in the Tanakama, and he says, that even if the buyer did not specify this tonight, the maisa, if the price of wheat does go down, then it's understood that the buyer could tell the seller that either you must supply to me 2,000 pounds of wheat or $1,000 worth of wheat, or give me back my money, as I don't want to go forward with this transaction. And certainly it makes sense that when someone prepays for his tefua, he certainly doesn't want to have downside risk, and he certainly wants to protect himself, that he only has potential to make money. The buyer is really doing a favor for the seller by prepaying him all this money, and the seller now has access to money. And certainly, even though there's no problem with ribbis in this case, but lemaisa, it's being done almost as a loan, and therefore certainly the whole point of it was that the buyer should be able to be profitable and make money off this transaction. And the Gemara begins with the story, that there was a father-in-law who gave his son-in-law money in order to go and buy jewelry or clothing for his daughter that would ultimately be the son-in-law's wife. And the son-in-law went to a seller that had jewelry and he gave him $1,000, and the seller was going to deliver that piece of jewelry at a later point. And ultimately, prior to the wedding, when they went to pick up the jewelry went down in value, and now the father-in-law wanted to retract and didn't want to actually pick up the jewelry, as lemaisa he was going to lose money on this deal. Therefore, the son-in-law went to the seller and he told the seller that we want to retract and I want the money back. And Aslan Kamed Rapapa, and they went to Rapapa to ask a shayla. And Amalein, Rapapa paskin like the Tanakam Rav Mishnah, and he paskin ipasakti in my kashar gavoya shakul kahashta, that if you actually specified when you made this transaction that if the price of this jewelry will go down, then the seller has to make up the difference, then you would take based on today's price. However, he told the chassan v'iloi, and if you didn't specify this condition, shakul kimikara, then you have to buy it and you have to take it based on the original price and you can't back out. And the Gemara continues, Amalein Rabbanu Rapapa, Rabbanu how can you paskin if the son-in-law did not specify this tnai, then he has to buy this item based on the original price, but Moisnanu, he only gave money to the seller, or Mois Loikanu, and Mois is not cleaner, and the maximum that you can have over here is a problem of a klolo mishapara, and amaluhu, and Rapapu responds to Rabbanon, ein chanami, and no nabi, lekabula le mishapara kamino. I certainly did not mean that the son-in-law can't back out, as certainly the son-in-law can back out, but l'maisa, there'll be a problem of mishapara, and I'll have the klolo mishapara, as once a buyer gives money to a seller, then if the buyer retracts, he will have the klolo mishapara. Rapapu explains that there are actually two stadim of mishapara, that ipasa kishara gavoya, that if at the time that the son-in-law gave the money to the seller, specifically made a tnai that he doesn't want to lose any money, and if the jewelry goes down in value, then the seller will provide him more jewelry and will have to make up the difference. So then if the seller now doesn't want to provide the difference and the seller wants to back out, then since the buyer already gave him money, then the seller will have the klolo mishapara. And Rav Papa stated that the other side of the equation is ilay pasik lekech kahadabei mekabel lekech mishapara. If at the time that the son-in-law gave the money to the seller, the son-in-law did not specify this condition, then lemaisa, even though the jewelry went down in value, the son-in-law and his father-in-law have to continue with the transaction and they can't retract. And if they do, they will have the klolo mishapara. And the Gemara now continues that we just saw that Rav Papa passed like the Tanakama, and therefore he required that the buyer specify that if the price goes down, then he will get the benefit of a price reduction. And if he doesn't specify that he will get that benefit, then he won't be entitled to a benefit of a price reduction. And as we will see, Ravina will ask Rav Papa that L'chayra, it seems that the reason why you're passing like the Tanakama is because they're being chilek on Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda is a das yachid, and therefore you felt the Tanakama is the Rabbim. But the Meiser Ravina will try to prove that the Tanakama is going like the das yachid of Rav Shimon that we had on Daf Mem Dalid, and therefore the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda is actually the sheet of the Chachamim that we had in Daf Mem Dalid, and therefore we should pass like the Rabbim, and we should pass like the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda that we had in our Mishnah, that even if the son-in-law wouldn't have specified that he wants to have the benefit of price reduction, that he would still be entitled to the price reduction. And as the Gemara states, Amli Ravina Rapapa, so Ravina says to Rapapa, Umayd Rabban, he the plague letter of Shimon, the Ami Mois Leikanu, that how do you know that the Shita of the Tanakam and our Mishnah is going like the Rabbanon, that a Chiluk on Rabbi Shimon on Daf Mem Dalid, and they hold that Mois is never Kaina, and if a buyer gives money to the seller, both the buyer and the seller have a potential of the klolo mishapara, but neither of them actually acquired the item. And you hold that lefidu rabbanon that we had on daf mem dalid that the Tanakama holds afilu hachi pasuk shar gavoya shokel kadashta, that if the son-in-law specified that the price goes down that he'll get a price reduction, then he will pay based on today's price, and he like pasuk shokel mikara. And if he didn't specify that he will be entitled to a cost reduction, then he will have to pay based on the original price. And if the son-in-law or the father-in-law back out, then they will be included in the klolo mishapara. But Dilma Rav Shimon, maybe the Tanakama Mishnah is specifically going like the Shita Rav Shimon, the Amma Mayis Koinis, and Rav Shimon holds that when a buyer gives money to a seller, then certainly the buyer cannot retract, and the seller can still retract, and Rav Shimon holds that Mayis is Koinis for a buyer. That's why our Mishnah makes sense that the Tanakama holds that the Fi Rav Shimon, that when the buyer made a condition with the seller, that I will get a lower price, then he will get based on today's price, as that was the initial condition that he made when he purchased the item, and he like pasuk shakel kimikara b'shem dekanalu zuzi. But if the buyer did not make this condition at the time that he gave the money to the seller, so then since the Tanakama holds like Rav Shimon that the buyer is koina with mois, so immediately when the son-in-law gave the money to the seller, then immediately he was koina necklace at that time based on the current price, and therefore certainly there's no reason why the seller has to now give him a reduction, and certainly the son-in-law and the father-in-law cannot retract, as lemaisa immediately upon them giving the money to the seller, they already were coining a necklace, aval rabbanon, but according to rabbanon that hold that mois is never coinis, bein pasuk bein le pasuk shakel kihashta, the dited inish asra zila, and lechayra according to rabbanon that mois is never coinis, then lechayra the svara of Yehuda in our Mishnah makes more sense, that rabbanon would actually hold like Rabbi Yehuda, and they would hold that even though the buyer gave money to the seller, but mois is not coinis, therefore since the buyer specified that he's doing this on a forward contract, he specified that he doesn't want to receive the item right now, and he only wants to receive delivery at a later point, then certainly it must be his das was that he wants to make sure that he's getting the better price, and if the better price is today, then he wants the price based on today's price, but if it will be a better price in the future, then even if the son-in-law did not actually specify that if the price of the jewelry goes down, that he's entitled to a price reduction, certainly that was his intent, and therefore certainly there shouldn't be a problem with him backing out, and l'chayra, Papa should the paskin like Rabbi Yehuda va Mishnah, because Rabbi Yehuda is going with the sheet of Rabbanon, and therefore Rav Papa should paskin like the Rabbin. And the Gemara continues, Amalei, the Rav Papa responded back to Ravina that really there is no machlekes between Rav Shimon and Rabbanon in the case of the son-in-law and in the case of our Mishnah, as Emud Amar Rav Shimon bechatera, that the only time Rav Shimon said that Mois is koinos and the buyer is koiner an item based on the fact that he gave kesef is only when there was one price and it was the same price from the beginning to the end of a future contract, or when a buyer bought something and it wasn't based on a future contract. Rav Shimon tells us that in those cases, that since the buyer gave the seller money, he was koiner and he could never retract. However, the Gemara tells us that betray Tarei Miyama, that certainly Rav Shimon would not say his halacha that Mois is koinos when there was a price change, and certainly even Rav Shimon agrees that if a buyer gives money to a seller and it's based on a future contract, and certainly the buyer doesn't want the actual deal to actually be finalized until he actually sees what the ultimate price will be, as he doesn't want to lose money. And therefore, in the case of our Mishnah, or in the case where the son-in-law was buying the jewelry for his father-in-law, in both of those cases, since there's a potential for a price fluctuation, therefore certainly Mois is not koinos, and even Rav Shimon would agree that the buyer is not koinos until the later point when he actually gets delivery. Therefore, Rav Papa states that the machlekes between the Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda and Mishnah is not based on a previous machlekes on Daf Mem Daled between Rav Shimon and the Chachamim, and Ein Chenami, the Tanakam and Mishnah, is the Das Rabbim, and therefore I pass like the Tanakam, and I don't pass like Rabbi Yehuda, who is the Das Yochid. And Rav Papa continues and brings a raya to this idea, the Ilai Tomei, as if this is not correct, Misha Parble Kech, Rav Shimon Lesley, then will come out according to Rav Shimon, will never have a case with the klola of Misha Parah for Lekech, as every time the Lekech gives money to a Mecha, he always acquires the item immediately, and therefore it is never potential for the klola of Misha Parah, because you already acquired it. And the Gemara is, V'chitem Ha'chinami, and if you will tell me that in the Chinami, according to Rav Shimon, there is no possibility of having the klola of Misha Parah on a buyer, and the only time there's a possibility of having a klola of Misha Parah is only for a seller, because when a buyer gives a seller kesef, it's not considered a valid kinyan b'negei the seller, and really me'ikar d'dina, the seller could retract. However, the Chacham said that we place on the seller klolo mishapara if he will retract. And the Gemara continues that it's impossible to state that Rav Shimon only says that the klolo mishapara is relevant to a seller and never relevant to a buyer, because v'atanya, we learned to the Braisa previously, and this is the words of Rav Shimon himself, that mekol mokim kachalacha aval amu Chacham mishapara. And the Gemara states, my mekol mokim, when Rav Shimon stated losh mekol mokim, lav d'leishno lekech v'leishno mecho mekabal lem mishapara, that it doesn't make a difference if the lekech or the mecha were the ones who retracted, that they will have the klala mishapara, and therefore you see that the klala mishapara even applies to a buyer and not only to a seller. And therefore, zokra papa aliki kam Rav Shimon bechatera, it must be that the only time Rav Shimon said that lekech is koinah with kesef is only either in a case where there wasn't a forward contract, or even in a case where there's a forward contract but the price was the same at the beginning and at the end. However, betray tarei loy amar, certainly if there is a forward contract between the time that the buyer gave the money to the seller and the time that the seller is ready to deliver the merchandise, that the price fluctuates and either goes down or goes up, then there would be a problem of mishapara, either in a case where the price went up and the seller wants to retract, then the seller will be included in the klal of mishapara, and if the price of the merchandise went down and the buyer wants to retract, then the buyer will be included in the klal of mishapara. And therefore a papa was able to respond to Ravina that certainly the machlekes between the Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda and our Mishnah is not totally in the machlekes between Rabban and Rab Shimon that we had in Daf Mem Daled. Therefore, I pass it like the Tanakam of our Mishnah, because that is the Das Rabbim. And the Gemara now continues and will ask a question on the din of Rab Papa. The Rab Papa stated that he understands that Mois is not koinos, and therefore, when he said that there's a problem for the son-in-law or the father-in-law to back out, it's a problem based on the klala of Mishapara. But in the Chanami, there is no halachic reason why the son-in-law or the father-in-law cannot back out, since even according to Rab Shimon, Mois would not be koinos, as we explained. But the Gemara asked that Amalei Rav Acha b'Rei Rav Ravashi, but typically the shliach shavi meikara, the lemaisa, the son-in-law was only a shliach, and therefore how could mishapara apply in this case, and it wouldn't apply to the son-in-law, and it wouldn't apply to the father-in-law either. And Rashi explains that you can't say that the son-in-law should have the klal of mishapara, because the son-in-law was only a shliach, and as Rashi says, v'cham of chayzabai, and the father-in-law was the one who retracted, u'ma b'yodi shel zelase shebezim mekal noisai, and what more could have the son-in-law done, and why would Bezin go and curse the son-in-law if ultimately he wasn't the buyer and he wasn't the one that backed out? The chamur nami laba kabuli mishaparu, and l'chira, you can't say that the klal of mishaparu should go on the father-in-law, as the matzi omer, the father-in-law would say, that I sent you as a shliach to make things better for me and not to make problems for me. And lemaisa, you should have made a tnai with the seller that the price of the jewelry comes down, that I could get a discount and I would only pay the discounted price. And as Rashi says, it would dava ibus b'mashahoyalavlusakenloynasashluchay, and therefore the father-in-law says to the seller that lemaisa he wasn't a proper shliach, and therefore I have a right to back out, and the klal of mishapara should not apply to the father-in-law either. And amalei, and Rav Ashi responds, b'tagra d'zavin u'masbin, that we're not talking about a son-in-law that was a shliach, but the son-in-law was buying on his own behalf, and then the son-in-law was going to take the jewelry and resell it to his father-in-law at a profit. Or as Rashi says, that the father-in-law originally ordered the jewelry from his son-in-law, who was in the business of selling jewelry, and then the son-in-law went to the merchant and went to his wholesaler to buy the jewelry, but ultimately in either case, the son-in-law actually was buying the jewelry, and since the son-in-law wasn't a shliach, therefore a papa paskin that once he paid money to the seller and he didn't specify a condition that if the jewelry goes down in value that I will get a discount, then if he doesn't go through with the sale and he retracts, so certainly the son-in-law will be included in the klal of mishapara. And we continue with the new Mishnah, that even though we said that there's an issur d'rabbanan to go and sell a saw b'saw, meaning I can't sell a saw of tefuah to Reuven and then Reuven will give me back a saw at a later point, because ultimately there is a possibility that that saw of chitin will change and it will fluctuate in value and potentially there will be a problem of ribbis. Now Mishnah teaches us malva adam esaris of chitin b'chitin lezera avaloi le'echol, that if Reuven owns a field and Shimon is a sharecropper, and the deal is that Shimon will work the field and he will give a percentage of the crop to Reuven, so Reuven's allowed to lend seed to Shimon in order that he should go and seed the property in order to plant wheat, and Reuven can tell Shimon that you'll give me extra wheat and you won't just give me the standard percentage that you would generally give me as a sharecropper, since I'm providing you with the seed as well. And the Mishnah teaches us that this only works if Shimon actually uses the seed in order to plant wheat, as ultimately the seed that Reuven is giving to Shimon is being used to directly improve the land. And therefore, the reason why Reuven is being paid more is not because of aganata, but it's because he's actually improving the land, and therefore he's giving more value to Shimon. However, as the Mishnah states, avaloi lechol, but if Shimon goes to Reuven and he wants to borrow wheat from Reuven in order to be able to eat the wheat, then certainly Reuven can't charge the sharecropper more, because in that case it was a regular loan, and therefore he'd be charging him for aganata, and that would be a problem of ribbis. And the Mishnah continues, and let's read the Mishnah. And as Rashi explains, that the reason why our Mishnah had to teach us this din is because we know that in a similar case, Rav Gamliel was machmen himself, that even in a similar case where Rav Gamliel provided seeds to his sharecropper and he specified to the sharecropper that when you have your crop, you will deliver to me an extra 1,000 pounds of wheat based on the current market value of wheat, which is $1 per pound, and therefore you'll give me $1,000 worth of wheat extra. And certainly if at the time of delivery the wheat would be at the same market price, then Rav Gamliel would take 1,000 pounds. However, if the price of wheat would go down, then Rav Gamliel would still only take 1,000 pounds of wheat. And if the price of wheat went up and now it's $2 per pound, then Rav Gamliel would not take 1,000 pounds from the sharecropper, and then he would be taking $2,000 worth of wheat, and instead he would take 500 pounds of wheat, which would be $1,000 worth of wheat. Rav Gamliel in all cases would not benefit from this transaction, as he felt that it looked like ribbis and he wanted to be machmir on himself. And as Rashi states, Vashmi'in Masnisin, and the Chiddush of our Mishnah is Loish Alocha Kain, the reason why Rav Gamliel did this is not because this is the Alocha El Shirotz L'Hachmir Al-Atzmai, but he was only doing this as a Chumra Ba'alma, and we actually paskin that the owner of the field could actually make a deal with his sharecropper, and the owner of the field could provide the sharecropper with seeds, and then he could charge him a specific amount of wheat, and even though by the time of delivery the price of wheat goes up, he could still take that amount of wheat, and it's not considered a problem of ribbis. And our Gemara begins and brings a brisa which will be very similar to our Mishnah, that Tanur Rabbanon, the brisa states, Malva Adam Asaris of Chitim Chitim Lazera, B'medrimu Shlo Yared Aval Yared Asa, that the din of our Mishnah was only stated in a case where the sharecropper did not yet start working, but if the sharecropper already started working in the field, then it would be Asa for the owner to give him seeds and make this deal. And the Gemara will explain this in a moment. And the Gemara now asked, why is it that in our Mishnah, the Mishnah just stated din stama and did not make a chil between when the sharecropper started working or if the sharecropper did not start working yet? Tzaret, and why is it that the outside Tana, meaning the Tana of the Braisa, made a chil between where the Shirkrap has started working or if he didn't start working yet? And the Ridva points out, Lav Koshihi Mamish, that this is not Mamish a question, the Efshe, the Tana Bra, the Fushi Masisin Asa, as we find many times that a Braisa comes to explain the Mishnah, who might let Pirish Masisin Parish Braisa, Al the Kim Diadina, the time of the Pagina Ninu, who Masisin Lachud, Masisin Lachud, Bein Lafushinu, but the Maisa we knew that there is a chil between the Mishnah and the Braisa, and therefore the Gemara asked the question in order to get to the answer. And the Gemara answers, Amr Rava, the Rava explained, Rav Edi Asbernele, and as Rashi explains, Pirish Vavinali, that he was mufarish the difference between our Mishnah and the Braisa, and he explained it to me, and he explained the chil between the Mishnah and the Braisa as follows, Ba'asra the Tani Dan, Arisa Yah Bizra, in the area where the Tana of our Mishnah lived, the custom was that the sharecropper had a responsibility to provide seeds, and therefore Bein Yard or Bein Layard, Kamad Layah Bizra, Matsi Misal Clay, and therefore it doesn't make a difference if he already went into land and he even plowed the land, but he doesn't yet have seeds in order to go forward and to properly plant the crops, or if he actually didn't even start working. In all cases, the owner has a right to kick out the sharecropper and tell him that he doesn't want it to go forward, and therefore if the sharecropper now goes to the Baal Bayis and tells the Baal Bayis that I want you to provide seeds, so now they could restructure the deal, and the owner of the field could tell the sharecropper that now that you want me to provide seed, then our structure is different and you won't be able to make as much money as you would have if you would have provided the seeds by yourself, which is the standard minhag hamakom, and therefore this is not structured as a loan and there's no problem of ribbis. And as Rashi says, it's as if they're making a new deal, and Areyu Kiyeru L'techa Me'achshav Al Menash Yitol Baal Bayis Hazeret Chilo Mechilek HaMegil Aris V'Aris Yitol Hashar B'Schat Tirchoy B'Yitol Pachot M'Shar Risen K'Shir Azera V'Al Menes Kein Yorish Yitol Pachot M'Shar Risen K'Shir Azera. And this is the deal that they made between each other, and you can make any deal you want with a sharecropper. However, Ba'asur the Tana Bra, the minig in the place of the Tana the Braisa was the Mari Ara Yar Bizra, that the owner of the field would generally give the seeds, and he was responsible to provide seeds to the sharecropper. And therefore, when the original deal was made, the sharecropper was supposed to get seeds from the owner, and he lo yared the much misalik like kikanachis lebatzim hakikanachis. So if you make the deal prior to the sharecropper starting to work, then of course, even though the standard minig hamakom is that the owner provides seeds to the sharecropper, but the owner definitely could go to the sharecropper and still tell him that I don't really want to provide you seeds, even though it's the minig hamakom. And if I do provide you seeds, then I'm going to pay you less. And certainly, if the sharecropper agrees to do so, then that is his deal, and therefore there is no problem of ribbis. However, Yared, if the sharecropper already started working, then he started working under the standard conditions, and the standard minhag hamakom is that the owner of the field provides seeds to the sharecropper. And once he started working, so at this point, the owner can't kick out the sharecropper from his field, and therefore it's usa, as at this point, if the owner of the field makes a change to the conditions of their deal, then even if the sharecropper agreed, and as Rashi says, alidei kabals damim oimatana, and lemaisa in yudasa achshel l'techa, the name of the batzim hachinachis, v'avoyi gabei v'asa, and it's like a standard ava, and there would be an issue of ribis, and therefore it would be asa. Rashi points out that if the minhag hamakom is that the owner of the field provides seeds to sharecroppers, why would the sharecropper agree to take a worse deal from this Baal Bayis just because the Baal Bayis is providing seeds if lemaisa that's his responsibility? And Rashi points out that we're talking about a scenario where the field of this Baal Bayis is a better field than other people in the area, and therefore the sharecropper really wants his deal and wants to work in this field, and therefore he may agree to change the terms that are standard terms in this area and agree that he will pay the Baal Bayis for providing seeds to him. And the Gemara continues, Tanur Rabbanan, we learned a braisa, that a person could say to his friend, Helveni kor chitim v'kaitz leidamim, that I want to borrow a kor of chitim, and at this point the kor of chitim is worth $100, and Reuven tells Shimon, if you lend me $100 of wheat, then I'll pay you back $100 at a later point. And we continue on daf ayin here in aleph, and the Gemara states, huzlu nois lechitim, that if at a later point the wheat becomes cheaper, and for example a kor of chitim is now worth $50, so nois lechitim, then Reuven would have to give to Shimon a kor of chitim, and therefore he would be giving him the same amount and the same commodity that he took from him. And it's mashma from the braisa that the lender could not demand that the borrower give him back $100, as that would be a problem of ribbis. And the Gemara will ask in a moment, the lechir, why should that be a problem of ribbis if we're talking about a case where it was katzas, and therefore there was a market value and there was a market price, and we should look at it as if Shimon lent Reuven $100, and therefore Shimon's entitled to get back $100, and there should be no problem of ribbis. And the braisa continues, hukru, however, if the value of wheat went up, and for example, at this point, a kor chitim is valued at $200, so nisim demeim, then Reuven would give $100 to Shimon, and he wouldn't have to give a kor of chitim. And in both scenarios, the borrower has yad al yayna, and the borrower is always benefiting from the price fluctuation. And as we mentioned, the Gemara now is v'alei kotzas, since they originally set a price, and there was a market value at the time that the borrower took this loan, so l'chira, why should the lender lose out? L'chira, since Reuven promised to pay Shimon $100 of cash, so he should at least have to pay him $100 of cash. How could it be that if the price of wheat went down, that Reuven could give Shimon a kor of chitin, which is only worth $50 at this point? And the Gemara answers, Amar Rav Sheshes explains that in a chenami, the way to read these prices as follows, Haveni kor chitin v'kotz lo yedomim, that certainly in a case where Reuven borrowed a kor of chitin from Shimon, and at that point it was valued at $100, and they made up that Reuven would pay $100 to Shimon, that certainly Reuven would have to pay $100 to Shimon, and even if the price of wheat went down, he can't give him a kor of chitin, as then Shimon would lose out. However, we are then missing words in the brisa, and the brisa should continue im leikotas, and if they didn't make up that Reuven will pay money back to Shimon, and instead Reuven obligated himself to pay back a kor of chitin to replace the original kor of chitin that he took from Shimon, then the din is huzlu, if the price of wheat went down, then the borrower has to take wheat, and he will get a kor of chitin, which at that point is worth $50, and hukru, but if the price of wheat went up, Reuven can't give a kor of chitim to Shimon, because then there will be a problem of ribis, as he originally borrowed a kor chitim which was worth $100, and now the kor chitim went up to $200, and therefore nisim demeim. So at this point, Reuven has no choice but to pay Shimon back by giving him $100. Of course, there would be no problem of ribis because he borrowed a kor chitim which was worth $100, and now he replaced it by giving him $100 of cash. And certainly, if Reuven wants, he could give him a half a kor of chitim, which is also worth $100 at this point, and there would also not be a problem of ribis by doing so. Keep in mind that really, l'chatchila, this whole din was not proper, as this is a case of sa b'sa, and a sa b'sa is asa, because there's a potential for a ribis, but the Gemara is just telling us that if there's a case where you actually went ahead and you lent the sa b'sa, then of course, if at the time that you come back to pay it, then the sa is still worth the same amount, then you could just replace the wheat with the original wheat, and there's no problem with ribis. But in a case where there's a potential for ribis, then the way to fix it is by either paying money for the original value, or by Reuven giving $100 of chitin based on today's price, which based on our example would be a half a kor chitin, and that is exactly the same amount that Reuven borrowed from Shimon, and therefore there won't be a problem of ribis, and we will stop over here.